Can you talk a little bit about sort of what her emotional state was around that time, whether she was out there on the internet trying to get information or talking to a lot of people about things, and sort of how she felt in general about what was going on, about the possibility of participating in clinical research?
Well, when I see a patient on the front end and I tell them about the management of breast cancer, when they first come to see me, I find it very useful to give them a brief sense of the history as to why they are being able to save their breast or be treated the way they are. And I almost always remind them that their treatment will be piggybacked on the efforts of well over 50,000 women that participated in key clinical trials over the last 20 years or so that demonstrated the value, and that had these trials not been done, they would have all had radical mastectomies and very little other treatment. So I try to set the tone that clinical trials are something that I think are very important in cancer care, and that I will present to them as their treatment sort of unfolds.
How do people respond to those kinds of discussions?
Well, I think people respond well. There are clearly individuals who still are very, very concerned that clinical trials put them in the position of being a guinea pig. They're concerned that we really know the right answer but don't want to tell them. But for the most part, again, a well-educated patient who has an opportunity to absorb this information over time, not given to them as a single moment, I think for the most part, those individuals are very, very favorably disposed. Now, this is a hard trial for some patients because it does have a randomization between chemotherapy and not. And chemotherapy is such an emotional issue, and patients either think it's so important or so unimportant that a randomization is hard. But still, some 60% of the patients that we offer this study to do accept it.
What about this woman? Can you talk a little bit more about her emotional state at that point and her kind of state of mind in general as you were dealing with her over these few weeks?
Well, this was a well-educated, bright woman, and she lives in an affluent area. She certainly has access and did have access to the internet and did some searching. She also got plenty of unsolicited advice from her bridge group. But we again try to make them or help them understand that there's a difference between anecdotal information and stories and really good clinical data. And we try to, again, really reinforce the value of clinical trials and solid data and evidence-based medicine.
But clearly the key issue here in her was whether she was going to get chemotherapy. That was what was out on the board.
That was out on the board. And she was actually quite stable emotionally. She did not have a lot of tears. She was distressed clearly at the beginning when the diagnosis was made, although I think she expected it when she came to see me.
And in terms of chemotherapy, did she verbalize any particular concerns or experiences about it to you?
Well, of course, like all patients, the first issue that people point to, interestingly enough, is the hair loss issue. And alopecia is still a concern to women with chemotherapy. But I do think that women are, for the most part, enough well-versed in the potential use of this agent. And I think increasingly recognize that this is a temporary circumstance, and it's no longer a societal stigma like it used to be, that they are somewhat more open. They still are concerned, but that will not make them not take chemotherapy. The women who don't take chemotherapy don't take it because they're concerned about taking poison in their body, not because of the hair loss, and not because they may feel ill.
So this woman was looking at that as a possibility, and you were presenting to her the option of participating in this trial where she'd be randomized if she happened to have an intermediate score to either chemotherapy or not chemotherapy. What happened after you explained that to her? What did she decide to do?
She chose to participate in the trial because she was impressed that this was modern medicine, that it gave her access to the latest in terms of care, although she recognized that she could have gotten the assay independently, although I'm not certain in her case whether her insurance would or would not have covered it. Certainly, had she been a few years older, Medicare would have. But more importantly, I think she really felt that she wanted to give something back to participate in the process. And so she did choose the trial. She signed consent. Now, I do think it's important to point out that while I encourage participation in studies, we have to be very careful. If we have a patient in this circumstance who we approach with a trial like this, and we really believe that that patient has a prejudgment as to what they will do In other words, if I'm randomized to chemotherapy, I'm just going to drop out of the trial, which is their right, then we really should not enter those patients into the trial. We should really make very clear that if they wish to participate in the trial and they sign the consent, that at the time they sign the consent, they're signing a consent for the randomization, not to pick the treatment that they like.